I'm supposed to do that.
Please open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to talk to you today about verses 11 through 13. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. At that time ye were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. This study you're about to hear is one I did a long, long time ago when I was trying to figure something out. And I'm just going to give it to you now. I did it a long time ago for myself. As believers who study the Word, we are aware of the fact that many things change in Scripture about the message of hope given to men. We know that God's message of hope begins with a promise when man appeared to be without hope and in the state of despair in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The Scriptures are a progressive record of how God fulfills this promise to men throughout the passage of time. In the four Gospels, we have the record of the fulfillment of the promise of God to His chosen nation. In the book of Acts, we have the fulfillment of the promise of God to this nation concerning their lack of faith, in Acts chapter 28, verse 28. With the calling of Paul, we see the presentation of another promise of God concerning men who are at one time without hope in the world. This promise is called the Gospel of God and is the subject of this study. The book of Ephesians is one of the most important letters written by Paul concerning the relationship of the believer to the Lord Jesus Christ. It contains the revelation of the closest relationship with the believer and his living Lord first revealed within it. In Ephesians, the believer is first told of a relationship with Christ which is far closer than a mere knowledge of the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. For Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Many who profess to know Christ understand little of the mysteries first spoken of in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It is as if they understand that Christ died for them, yet they do not understand the relationship they now have with their Lord, their new position as part of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, and that they are now seated in heavenly places with Christ is a mystery to them. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For God, who is rich in mercy, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Failure to understand what Paul first reveals in this letter causes a misunderstanding of what Paul teaches in the rest of his post-Acts letters. It is in Ephesians where Paul first speaks of the unique relationship between a believer and Christ, who is the living head of the church. There are reasons why men do not understand this letter. Unfortunately, the teachings of this letter still remain a mystery to many professing believers, even in this day. Here are several reasons for this. Some of them are: first one is failure to rightly divide the Word of God. Second one is failure to actually study the Word of God and take it for what it says. The willingness of men to be bound by tradition is another one. The fourth one is the widespread teachings of men that do not understand the importance of Paul and the revelation of truth to men. And the fifth is the tendency of men to be satisfied with what they understand concerning the truth. The sixth one is the lack of desire to know Christ. And the seventh would be The failure to heed this advice given to us by Paul in these verses of Ephesians. I believe you'll find all of these things included within the struggle that Paul faced in bringing the truth to mankind. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Remember that we have an advantage over these believers that Paul wrote to directly. We have in our hands the completed revelation of God to man. In this passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, Paul is revealing with them what they already knew as a basis for what they did not yet understand concerning their relationship to Christ. Paul had to teach them about the new position of the believer from their understanding of their present position. New truth is based upon understood truth. It is important to understand where you are, your position in the truth, before you can proceed any further in it, which is your experience. New knowledge is based upon established knowledge. All men learn this way. Paul had a relationship with these people that began in Acts chapter 18, where he first reasoned with the Jews in the synagogue concerning Christ. In the following chapters in Acts, we learn about how things progressed in Paul's dealings with these people. To say the least, it was a stormy relationship. There is a constant struggle between the heathen Gentiles, with those from among them who had believed, and there was a struggle between the Jews who believed and the Jews who did not, and conflict between believing Jews and believing Gentiles concerning the truth of the gospel. However, there are many that did believe in Ephesus, as well as in all Asia, both those of Israel and of the Gentiles. The question is, what had they believed? In these verses, Paul, speaking directly to the Gentiles, you see in verse 11, of the importance of remembering certain truths. He is reminding them of the fact that at one time they had no hope and were without God in the world. In verse 12, looking back on my own life, I remember a time when I was ignorant of who I was before God. As a Baptist, I was not even aware of the fact that I was a Gentile, let alone without hope and without God in the world. I believe that one of the first things shown to us by the Spirit of God and the calling of the gospel is that we are without hope and without God in the world, no matter what denomination we may be. It is interesting that what God reminds these believers of in these verses is as hard for men to believe today as it was then. Paul is speaking of the action of the grace of God in these verses. It is the grace of God that caused you to understand that you were without hope. It is the grace of God that drove you to seek the mercy of God because of this revealed knowledge. All believers understand that it is the unmerited mercy and favor of God that brought us out of our helpless state. There is one truth that lost men hate to hear is the fact that they are in a helplessly lost state before God. Paul is telling these believers that at one time they were in that same position, lost before God. In verse 13 we are told to remember that it was the action of the gospel that brought us from a state of being far off to being near to God. This is accomplished through the death and shed blood of Christ on the cross for all men. Jews and Gentiles who have been led to understand their previous position before God, in verses 11 and 12. Also in verse 13 of this passage, Paul is reminding these believers of what his message had been during the Acts period. I am sure you all understand that what Paul preached in the Acts period is called the gospel of God. In this verse, Paul is reminding these believers of what he had taught them concerning how they, as Gentiles, had been brought into the blessings of Israel. This was the action of the gospel. Paul further explains what he had taught in the Acts period through the rest of this passage, ending in chapter 3, verse 2. We're talking about Ephesians here. I understand it's, I'm counting that you will get these notes and be able to look over it. So just kind of pay attention, more or less. That's the homework assignment. What is said in this verse, verse 13 of chapter 2, through chapter 3, verse 2, is the message of the inner Acts ministry of Paul. Paul struggled to bring both believing Jews and Gentiles to understand that they are no longer separate in the eyes of God, but made one through faith in the gospel. For example, if the assembly in Corinth, made up of Jews and Gentiles, would understand that a failure to see that Christ died for all was the root of their many divisions, would they have remained divided? Understanding what Paul says in verse 13 through 18 here in Ephesians is the answer to the problems of that assembly. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. The both would be Jews and Gentiles, which was the big problem in the inner Acts ministry of Paul. What Paul taught about this promise to the Gentiles is important in understanding what was revealed by Paul after the close of the book of Acts. What he called the gospel of God refers to the fact that God had before determined that his promise of hope concerned all men, both Jew and Gentile, and to make all men see what is a fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul first mentions the gospel of God in his first letter to the Thessalonians. A close reading of the Thessalonian letters will show you that he is speaking to believers who are not of Israel. Here are some things you will find in the Thessalonian letters. For one thing, there are no references to Old Testament scriptures, which would only be known by those of Israel. For another thing, what is said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, leads me to believe these believers were Gentiles. And what it says is this: for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 and 9, and verse 12, Paul speaks to these believers about his message of hope to the Gentiles. These verses also give us a definition of the gospel of God. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, in Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God, that ye walk worthy of God, who called you unto his kingdom and glory. In these verses in Thessalonians, Paul speaks of what he had preached unto the Gentiles during the Acts period. The gospel of God is defined for us in verse 12 of this passage. That is, that they could become part of the kingdom promised to Israel through the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 2, he mentions to these believers, who were Gentiles, that it was through this message that they had been made part of the commonwealth of Israel. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. The new man in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, is the result of the gospel of God being preached to the Gentiles in the Acts period. This new man is a result of the end of any difference between Israel and the Gentile nations. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, Paul speaks to these Gentiles concerning the fact that they have been made part of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the prophets of old and upon the teachings of the apostles. In the Old Testament, there are references to the fact that God had determined to show mercy to men of every nation. In the book of Hosea, we read about the judgment of God upon his unfaithful people, Israel. During this time, God will show mercy upon other nations. And I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which are not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Hosea 2, verse 23. In the book of Galatians, Paul, while speaking to Israel, reminds them that Abraham, even before he was called Abraham, was blessed by God for his faith. The nation of Israel is a result of God's blessing upon the faith of Abraham. God has always dealt with men by and through faith. Through faith in the gospel of God, the Gentiles have been made part of the household of God. In the record of God's dealing with men during the book of Acts, we first read of this gospel being preached by Peter to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 11, Peter reviews with the Jews how God showed mercy to the Gentiles. This results in them praising God for his mercy to the Gentiles. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Acts 11, verse 18. In Acts chapters 15 and 21, Peter and the disciples agree that Paul was obedient to what the Lord had told him, to go to the Gentiles. It was good news that the Gentiles could be brought into the blessings of God. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul says this concerning the ministry among the Gentiles. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Timotheus, who was a Gentile, was sent to them in order to bolster their faith in the good news of Christ. In these verses, we learn of the way that the gospel of God was brought to pass among the Gentiles. It was through the finished work of Christ, the Son of God. Remember that the message among the nation of Israel in the period of our Lord's earthly ministry was that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Christ. The message to the Gentiles, who previously had no hope, brought into the commonwealth of Israel through faith is Christ, who is the Son of God. In this passage, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, Paul is reminding these believers to remember his past ministry among them, how it was through his ministry they had learned that they as Gentiles could be brought to a position of hope through the gospel. This was the result of the gospel of God among them. This is the ministry of Paul during the Acts period. Other places in Paul's writings where the term gospel of God appear are Romans 1:1 and 15:16, 2 Corinthians 11:17, and 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 2, 2 verse 8, and 2 verse 9. All of these places are within the writings of Paul during the Acts period. They all concern the bringing of the Gentiles into the blessings of the nation of Israel with Christ as the Messiah. The gospel of God is not present in any other of Paul's post-Acts letters. It is here in Ephesians as a basis for the new truth Paul is to reveal about the believer in Christ. This gospel is what the believers in Ephesus had heard from Paul when he was among them. It is important to remember this when seeking to understand what Paul was trying to teach these believers in Ephesus. As believers associated with this fellowship, we have been taught the importance of progressive revelation in the Word of God. We understand the importance of rightly dividing God's Word. We know the difference between Jews and Gentiles. This is a good thing. I have learned from the knowledge of these things the importance of looking at the writings of Paul in a progressive manner. Paul did not understand all of his revelation at first. He had to learn it from Christ over a period of years. The truth he had in Ephesians is more complete than the truth he had in the Thessalonian letters. Reading his writings in a chronological manner will show you this. When I first heard the truth of the gospel, I was moved by the fact that it was impossible for one who was without, that it was I was moved by the fact that it was possible for one who was without hope to receive mercy from God. As I was taught the importance of Paul and the revelation of truth to men, I began to understand that truth is a progressive thing. It is very important to mark not only what is written, but to whom, concerning what, and at what time opened a door of truth that before was unknown to me. Paul's letter to the Ephesians is very important because of when it was written in his revelation. It is the first letter written after the events recorded in the book of Acts. In the last chapter of this Acts, of Acts, we read of how God had put the nation of Israel aside for their unbelief. This is foundational for understanding the rest of Paul's revelation, that Israel and God's relationship with them is now put aside is very important. Ephesians establishes a new position for people of faith that is mentioned by no other author of Scripture. Failure to understand this position leads to misunderstanding the post-Acts teachings of Paul. When Paul wrote this letter, it's very important in understanding the teaching of it. The book of Acts has come to a close. God has put his people Israel and the teaching of the kingdom of heaven aside. This should be no surprise to us as students of the Word. God has been speaking about it for quite some time. The events recorded in Acts chapter 28 have been foretold many times throughout the Old Testament. To Paul was given the task of pronouncing this judgment upon the nation of Israel. Understanding this must have been a time of great stress for Paul. We know that his heart's desire was for his people Israel. He understood that it was given to him to bring the message of hope to the nation of the nations of the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. How hard it must have been for Paul to understand that this plan of God had been set aside. How it must have torn at his heart. Paul understood that our God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. Imagine the joy in the heart of Paul to learn of the new position God had in mind for those of faith. This new standing was neither Jew nor Gentile. It was based on identification in Christ and Christ alone. This new revelation of Christ to those of faith is given to Paul first in his letter to the Ephesians. Think about how great a task it was for Paul to fulfill the plan of God after the setting aside of the message of the kingdom. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 and 26, Paul speaks of this task, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. It was Paul's job to fulfill the plan of God. Consider this task. How few are there today who understand this plan of God? How many men still believe that they are part of the kingdom plan of God and never come to understand the fullness of Christ in them? They never come to realize how complete they are in Christ. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Imagine how elated Paul was to understand the mind of God in this matter. He must have gone from a point of despair and the task of setting aside one dispensation of God, the kingdom, to unbounded joy and bringing to light another dispensation of God, the church, which is his body. This is quite a task. This is quite a task. I believe I am speaking to believers who are already blessed with knowledge of these things. The intent of this study is to show you how Paul first presented this mystery of the church, which is his body, to men. This will require some study on your own part. I intend to show you a way to see how in the first three chapters in Ephesians, Paul first presents the greatest of God's revelation to men. First, what we know. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul addresses the saints in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. "We are not the saints in Ephesus, but we are the faithful in Christ Jesus." In a way, we are included in this greeting. Here are some ways which the believers in Ephesus and we are alike. We know and understand the uniqueness of Paul and the truth of God. We have been identified with the gospel and understand we are in Christ by faith. Because we do, we are full of faith or faithful. Because Paul preached the gospel of God during the Acts period, this is where he had to begin in bringing believers new knowledge of the plan of God. Understanding these things will help us see how Paul performed the task he was given. "When I first came to knowledge of the church which is his body, I wondered how Paul presented this mystery to those of faith in his day." Understanding that Paul taught the gospel of God during the Acts period helped me to understand how he presented this mystery to those alive at that time. Knowing the point of beginning, the gospel of God, helps you see what Paul teaches in these chapters. I'll go over what I found in these chapters. You may study them out on your own. Remember what the gospel of God is as you go over the verses in these chapters. Paul begins by presenting the truth of the church which is his body in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. He refers to this in chapter 3, verse 3, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." In chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, Paul speaks of the way that these believers came to be saints or the faithful. In verses 17 and 18 of the same chapter, Paul gives us his prayer for all who have believed. He then speaks of the mystery that he desires for them to understand in chapter 1, verses 19 through chapter 2, verse 1. You're going to get these notes, so I'm just trying to put it out there. In chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, Paul speaks of the former position we had prior to the work of the gospel upon us. And in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, Paul speaks of the action of the gospel on us and the basis for it. Chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul speaks again of the church, which is his body. Chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, Paul speaks of the action of God on men in every dispensation of truth. And in chapter 2, verses 11 through chapter 3, verse 2, Paul reviews the message of the gospel of God that he preached in the Acts period. Paul, having put out these things, he then begins to show these believers the new message he has received from Christ. In chapter 3, he begins by revealing known facts. First of all, he has always taught that men are brought to the gospel by the grace of God alone. Chapter 3, verse 2. Second, that the gospel of God is through Christ. Chapter 3, verse 2, and 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and others. third thing is the effect of the gospel of God upon the Gentile nations. Chapter 3, verses 3 through 9. Pay particular attention to verse 9, where the word beginning, and chapter 1, verse 4, where the word is before. You'll see they're not the same. In chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul tells us the reason he has been given the task of presenting the mystery to men, that the faithful may understand the manifold or complete wisdom of God, and that we may be strengthened in our inner man and understand that Christ dwells in our heart by faith. Now, in this study, we have looked briefly at the gospel of God as preached by Paul during the Acts. This message was to bring Gentiles who were without hope into the kingdom promised to Israel under Christ as their Messiah. This message brought all men together through the death of Christ, for Christ died for all men. Following God's judgment upon the nation of Israel in Acts 28, it was given to Paul to present God's new revelation to men. This is based on the unity of all men identified with Christ through the gospel. In this new position, the unity of faith is in the resurrection. The church, which is the body of Christ, is a heavenly and not an earthly thing. It is first presented in Ephesians. It is important to remember the task that faced Paul. He was to present the plan of God after the message of the kingdom, and that is that men may stand alone solely by faith, having no need of anything except Christ and Christ alone. This believer is now by faith in the heavenlies with his Lord. He is dead, buried, and raised again with Christ. This believer is a mystery of the church, which is the body of Christ. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory.